Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Horace C. Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church. It is my privilege and pleasure to be with you tonight to share with you what thus saith the Lord out of his incomparable word. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He whom he hath redeemed from the hands of the enemy, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We look to God tonight because we know he's got something to say to us, and we are grateful to God for what he's about to do. This is Tuesday, August 24th, in the year 2021, let us look to the Lord in a moment of prayer before we begin our teaching in Jesus' name. Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, O God, the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you, O God, that loved us, became flesh and blood, took on our form without our nature, bled and died that we might be free. You came in flesh in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, for when the blood of bulls and bullocks and the ashes of a heifer sprinkles could not erase the problem with our sin nature, you declared out of your eternal word, lo, I come in the volume of the book. Oh, God, you stepped into our space. You stepped into our time. In flesh, you became the propitiation, the ultimate sacrifice. And we glorify your name right now as we continue on in our lessons concerning the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has made us free from the law of sin and death. We bless you, Lord, and thank you for the power of life in the Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts, Lord God. Quicken our understanding by the anointing that destroys every yoke. And even now, we thank you for these precious hearts who have assembled themselves faithfully to hear from you. Bless, Lord God, not just with hearing, but with understanding. And we won't forget to give you the glory, the honor, and all the praise. Even bless and anoint afresh our prayer leaders for tonight, that as they come to lead us to the throne of grace, that they will do it with anointing and power infused by you. We thank you, we bless you, we glorify you now, committing all things into your hands, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, beloved. I'm going to ask that you would focus your attention upon the slide that I'm sharing now, and I'm going to ask if someone would just let me know if they're able to see the slide. Praise the name of God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Austin, in the name of the Lord. We're going to continue at this point. I want to remind you of where we've come from. We've talked about the operations of the tripartite nature of man. The book of 1 Thessalonians talks about the Lord sanctifying our spirit, soul, and body. He wants all of us under the influence and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Not one part of us does God want to be excluded. He wants all of us. He wants our totality. And it is his good pleasure to bless us, to be able to yield it to him. Oh, my God. Ooh, see, you have to understand that God is sanctifying us totally. Sanctifying us totally. Total sanctification. He's not sanctifying us in part. He's sanctifying us in totality so that we would be blameless. Oh, glory to God. The devil wants to prescribe blame and ascribe blame upon you. But when you walk in the Holy Ghost, we have passed from death to life because we are walking in fellowship with God. Oh, God, let's jump in. At this point, tonight's lesson begins at part three, and we are finding ourselves at the place, understanding that we've got to follow Jesus. Following him is worth it. Following him is worth it. The longer you hold on to your walk with him, the more valuable it will become to you. The longer you walk with the Lord, holding on to his hand, the more valuable your relationship becomes. You have to understand how to treasure the valuables. The Apostle Paul said that we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of it, the excellency of the Holy Ghost, the excellencies of grace, the excellency of the anointing, would clearly be of God and not of us. Let's continue. Bless the name of God. I think at this point, I'm not sure. Yep, I see Dale. God bless you. So tonight, this slide, we've got a couple of slides left. And I think the only two people that have been assigned or have volunteered, it's Brother Dale and Sister Lynette. And I see Brother Dale on the line. I don't see Sister Lynette, but all you need to do is read the slides that's in front of you. And so we're going to ask that Dale would begin with this slide, Romans chapter 8. For those that don't have the screen sharing capability, open up your Bible with us. Everybody ought to open up your Bible and have your notebook ready. Open it up to Romans chapter 8. We're going to begin at verse 19, we're going to continue rather, starting at verse 19. We've been in the book and we're walking through Romans chapter 8, taking a journey in power, a journey through power. Glory to God. Romans chapter 8, verse 19 is where we're starting tonight. And we're asking our son in the gospel, Dale, to begin the reading. Well, what we're seeing showing on the screen. Again, this is Romans chapter 8. Now, I'm not sure if people can unmute themselves. Deacon Austin, Junior Deacon Austin, I had a problem unmuting myself earlier. So I'm not sure if the host has restricted the capability from individuals to be able to unmute. Praise the name of God. Amen. Can you unmute yourself, Dale?
Yes, sir.
Okay, wonderful. Let's go.
All right. Romans chapter 8, verses 19 to 25 reads, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?"
Verse 25. Did we lose Dale?
But if we hope for that we see not, then do we.
Sounds like we may have a little bit of technical challenge. I'm going to read verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. The Apostle Paul is speaking here about a future glory, a glory that is supposed to, that will happen for the redeemed. This is a promise to those who suffer with Christ. If we suffer with him, we will be glorified together. That's out of verse number 17. Paul speaks to this expectation, understanding that what we suffer now is nothing compared to what's going to happen later. As a matter of fact, all creation is waiting and hopeful for this future day. This glorification that will take place for us is a part of a new heaven and a new earth. It will be a glorious revelation of the ultimate plan of God to bring us into his presence, never to be separated again. The book of Revelation goes into graphic description of this epic event. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is the event that starts this great process, the rapture of the church. The seven-year tribulation will follow immediately after the rapture. That seven-year period of tribulation upon the earth, where God will be pouring out his wrath upon those who have rejected Christ and who yet during that time of the tribulation will still reject the offer that's made of Christ in salvation. Man will not repent of their sins. They will go deeper into sin, and driven by the spirit of the Antichrist, they will seek out anyone who seeks to promote Christ or seeks to yield themselves to Christ. They that will make their mind up in the tribulation period to serve the Lord Jesus, it will cost them their lives. It is in this time when the scriptures say, he that seeketh to save his life shall lose it, but he that loseth it for my sake shall save it. It is that time when those who will accept the Lord Jesus Christ, now there won't be any reward for them, because that reward comes after the rapture, when we will all stand before the bema seat of Jesus Christ to receive the reward for what we have done in this flesh, whether good or bad. And so immediately after the rapture, the children of God will be before the judgment seat, the bema seat, experiencing the judgment of the conduct or works of the believer. And while that's going on in heaven, tribulation will be going on down on earth. 7 years, the first 3.5 years will be a period of relative peace. There will be an instant shock concerning the instantaneous disappearance of millions of people around the world that will be quelled by a coming together and a sense of unified government that encompasses the whole world under the system of what will be revealed as the Antichrist. It will be during that time when the mark of the beast that's spoken of in Revelation chapter 13 will become prominent. There are some that even believe that there are foreshadows of the mark of the beast circulating in society even right now. And as we see, even during this time of the pandemic, where there are those who must There are conditions under which you must have had the vaccine to be able to go into certain venues and to be able to experience certain pleasantries, that these things point to an idea of a socially accepted kind of identification, which will be required for people to have to access services or to go into certain venues. The Bible talks about not being able to buy nor sell during the time of the tribulation, except having the mark of the beast. I don't want to get too deep into the eschatological aspect of this, but I want you to understand that this future glory is something that not only does the church look for, but even the world itself, all creation. My God, it's something powerful about the end times that the world itself, even nature, is excited or will have a response to the move of God. I've got to say, if nature can be so touched that it will be affected by the move of God, how much more so we that are on this line right now? Open our hearts to God to say yes to his will. The creature was made subject to vanity, but not willingly. Let's understand that from the day of our creation, thorns, thistles, sin, death, decay, all of these elements were in the world because of ungodliness. Adam took of the tree of the knowledge, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it resulted in an avalanche of effects, a domino effect, because now all creation was under the curse. Ah, God. But there was hope. And it was this hope that germinated the expectation of something greater. And so because the creature itself was also delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, there is this verse talks of the hope that even though there was judgment, hope was on the horizon. Now, verse 22 says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The consequence of sin is rampant throughout the entire world. Our entire world is affected by sin, even the aspect of global warming that's taking place upon the planet, the erosion of the ozone layer. All of creation is groaning under the weight of the consequence of sin. But something better is on the horizon. There is hope, hope. Ah, God, verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. So we've got the deposit of the Holy Ghost on the inside. My God, somebody note that deposit of the Holy Ghost. The Bible talks about us being sealed until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our expectation. It's the down payment. In financial terms, an earnest money was a down payment for, and it was an assurity of the future fulfillment. It was a deposit. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost is a deposit in you of future glory. And so you can be assured of the future glory because you have the deposit of the Holy Spirit. And even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Yes, we go through in this world as well, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. We know that to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And so even though we go through, we know that not only is there a breakthrough in this world, there is an internal breakthrough that waits for us. And so we are experiencing a foretaste of future glory. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost on this line. You need to write it down. Foretaste of future glory. Verse 23, that's what we're talking about there. And now when we get to 24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? So the idea of hope is the positive expectation of something that's going to happen. the future expectation that something is going to happen. And this was the same disposition that we were in, to trust in the Lord. This hope was cloaked with trust. And so trusting the Lord, we look forward to getting something that we did not yet have. Oh, my God. And we began to praise him. I wish I had a few people that prayed for the Holy Ghost. God, with the praise of hallelujah. Anybody on the line that has done it, you can put that in the chat. Hallelujah. You know, one of the songs back in the day said, I was tarrying around the altar when the fire fell. I was tarrying around the altar when the fire fell, and the Lord saved me. The idea of tarry was a common part of our vernacular because it spoke of the idea of waiting. The Bible taught that the disciples were sent to the upper room and they tarried for the Holy Ghost. They waited for the Holy Ghost. But today we know that we don't have to wait any longer because the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost and has not left yet. Praise the name of God. So we don't have to tarry, in other words, wait anymore, but we still come with praise. And so we came with the praise of hallelujah in expectation that God would respond according to his word. The Bible says, they that seek the Lord should praise him. Your heart shall live forever. And so with that praise and expectation, we came to the altar in hope. And anybody on the line that has the Holy Ghost, you can declare, I was saved by hope. I was hoping for something that I had not experienced, and God responded according to his word. And after that, we received the Holy Ghost. We have received power, and we don't have to ask him for the Holy Ghost anymore because we've got it. So we're not hoping for it. We're happy for it. Hey, glory to God. I said, we're not hoping for it, but we're happy for it. We are happy people. Yes, we are. Been baptized in Jesus' name. And we spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came. We are happy people. Yes, we are. So the idea of hope here says this. If you are hoping for something, then you wait for it. And when it comes down to hoping in God, we wait patiently. We don't have to worry about whether he's going to come through or not. We don't ever have to worry about whether he'll be on time or not. Songwriter said, you can't hurry God. You just got to wait. You got to trust him and give him time no matter how long he takes. He's a God. You cannot hurry. He'll be there. Don't you worry. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Isaiah, the prophet said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And so if we hope in God, then we wait on God. And this is a part of the law of the spirit of life in Christ, because we are not anxious concerning God. We are resting in the confidence of his word. This is life in the Holy Spirit, my brothers and my sisters. Let's go on. Ah, God, I'm not sure if Sister Alexander has joined us yet on the line. I don't see her yet unless she's on by another alias. And if you are not on, Sister, if you are on, Sister Alexander, just unmute yourself there and let us know. Praise the name of God. Amen. We have another volunteer. Amen. Because y'all can just jump right in. Deacon Austin is going to read this. Come on, Deacon. Uh-oh. Can the deacon unmute himself?
Yes, sir. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
Thank you, sir. So understanding that we are saved by trusting in God. This trust speaks to the fact that we are looking forward to something that we don't yet have. And we have experienced the fulfillment of that as we waited at the altar. And truly, the waiting was on us. It really wasn't on God. God is waiting for people to get to a place where they'll say yes, irreversibly yes. God is waiting for people to get to the place where they'll say, have mercy. God is waiting for people to get to the point where they will repent and say, Lord, I don't want sin anymore. I don't want this life of sin anymore. It's eating up my time. It's eating up my energy. It's destroying my potential and eroding my future and certainly throwing into jeopardy my eternal state. I don't want it anymore. There's nothing good about it. Nothing good for it. It ain't helping me at all. Even if it made me feel good, it's not making me to be good. And all it's doing is keeping me in the grip of evil. But when we see here now, because some people, they don't want to come to God and give their life to God because of the stuff that they see some people go through. Now, truly, the wages of sin is death. There is a consequence for sin. And if you don't accept the judgment that God placed on Jesus for your sins, then basically you're saying, okay, I'll take that judgment on myself. And I'm going to say that one more time. I'm going to say it a different way. The fact that Jesus died on the cross, it was because of our sin. And God placed judgment on Jesus that was supposed to come on us. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. And because the judgment was passed from us to Christ, all of us that accept what Christ has done escape the judgment, but we go on to receive salvation because salvation is the alternative to living under sin. We don't get a get out of jail free card to continue in sin. When we accept what Jesus Christ has done for us, we are embracing discipleship. We are embracing what Christ has to offer. And sometimes, my friend, yes, it's true that we go through. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. This image is a graphic depiction of the fact of who's really holding us up. Whew. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. The same way that we came to the Lord to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith. And it was the Holy Ghost that came upon us. It was a God thing. We had to come, but God had to give it. I said, we had to come, but God had to give it. The preacher couldn't give it to us. The altar worker couldn't give it to us. The praying missionary and the praying mother couldn't give it to us. It is a gift of God. The same way that we receive the Holy Spirit is the same way we receive help right now. The Holy Spirit helps us in the times of our weakness. Sometimes we don't know what God wants us to pray for. Sometimes we don't know which way to turn. Just because you have the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you have all the answers. And this is one of the most difficult lessons for a lot of people to learn. You're not perfect yet. You're on your way to it, but you ain't there yet. Praise the name of God. We're not there yet. We're on our way, but we're not there. And so we need the Spirit's help. The same way that the Spirit of God came in, filled us with the Holy Spirit, the same way we got filled with the Holy Spirit is the same way that we are energized by that Holy Spirit. The Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, when we get into prayer, now this is praying in the Holy Ghost, okay? I want you to understand, we're not just, life in the Holy Spirit includes everything. It includes how we walk. It includes how we talk. It includes how we think. It includes the decisions we make. It includes everything. And so when we receive the Holy Spirit, we pray by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. There are times when we are lost for words. I don't know if you've ever had the unfortunate experience of getting a gut punch. And when you get a gut punch, sometimes it knocks the wind out of you so much you can't even talk. It's like you can't even get a word out. The punch is so devastating, it knocks the wind out of you. Sometimes we go through things in life that knocks the wind out of us. And we are at a place where we feel weak, vulnerable, debilitated. The good news is that the Holy Spirit helps us even in those times. And when we begin to pray, the Holy Spirit does something. When we can't get the words out, the Holy Spirit takes over. It takes over because we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And when we don't know what to say, our prayers are led by the unction of the Spirit that's on the inside. And those words, although inarticulate, come out with groanings, moanings that are not understood. But he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God searches our hearts. You can't hide nothing from God because God knows what's in your heart. You can't hide it from God. You can hide it from me, but you can't hide it from God. You can hide it from folks, but you can't hide it from God. And so when we are before him in a broken state, in a contrite state, this is why even a person who's a rank sinner, who might not even know what to say, they begin to cry. They recognize their sinfulness. They recognize their degraded state and their need for God. Sometimes they don't even know what to say, and they begin to cry because the weight of their recognition is so heavy that they all they can do is cry. Sometimes that happens to the Spirit-filled. And in that moment, the Holy Ghost begins to work in us. Sometimes we have the testimony, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And because we have this confidence, see, you can't build confidence when you're in a struggle. You got to get your confidence built up before the struggle. Muscle will get developed in the struggle, but before you go into the struggle, you got to know that God's grace is going to be sufficient and you can come out of it. Woo! The muscle of your mind must be strengthened before you go through it. The muscle of your spirit must be strengthened. And the muscle of our spirit, not the Holy Spirit, our spirit, the muscle of our spirit is strengthened by the Word of God. The Word of God strengthens our spirit muscle. The reason why there's a struggle in the flesh is because there is the nature of God and the nature of sin in the believer. And you have to decide which nature you're going to let win. This idea of strength, Lord, send help from the sanctuary and strength out of Zion. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. These things that speak of strength, now unto him that is able to do all exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. This power that worketh in us is God, but you've got to agree to let God do it. And your strength for agreement is made in knowing God's word. Because when you know the word, you'll be able to declare that we know. Verse 28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You've got to know this before you go through it, before you go through. You got to know it. And the way to get this in your spirit is by reading the word, meditating upon the word, doing what the Lord told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, thereabouts, so that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. But therein shall thou make thy way prosperous. Therein shalt thou have good success. Have I not told you? Be strong and of a good courage. Paul, Joshua is reminded constantly about the fact that this is not, you know, what you're getting ready to go through is not for the squeamish. And you've got to trust me. You got to believe me. You got to be strong and courageous. Because there's times in our flesh when the weak will come. And the sign here in the image says, you've got to plead with God so that he can do what only he can do. And then you've got to get out of the way and let him do it. Somebody ought to write that down. You've got to plead with God. This is the prayer. This is the intercession that takes place by the Holy Ghost. You've got to plead with God so that he can do what only he can do. Don't go at it pity pat. Don't go at it feeling defeated, feeling that you know, I got to beg God to do it. No, go to him in confidence, boldly to the throne of grace, we're told. But open your mouth and plead. Make your case. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Write it down. When you pray in this kind of prayer, you got to make your case, baby. You got to make your case, my friend. Make a case. And then get out of God's way and let him do it. Let him do it. Let him do it. Woo. Next set of verses here. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 through 31. We're getting to the end of this chapter. I hope you're getting something out of it. I need a volunteer to do some reading here. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 through 31. Come on and do that reading. Bless your heart. Unmute yourself and you can read. Sister Alexander's with us. God bless you, dear. Amen. If you want to read this, you can do it. Praise the name of God. Amen. You got to unmute yourself. Yeah. Okay. Come on.
Hello?
Yep. We can hear you there. Go ahead.
Okay. God bless. I'm sorry again. And God bless everybody. Good evening. Okay. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 31, right?
Yep.
I have it. Sorry. Yes. I have the word. How's that?
That's perfect. Go ahead and read it, dear.
Okay. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen.
Glory to God. As a believer, walking in the Holy Spirit, you need to understand your history and your destiny. As we stand by faith, hoping and waiting patiently for the things that we expect God to do, the Apostle Paul takes a step back to lay a foundation for victory in our lives. We need to understand that this victory is already ours. Paul takes a look back at the page of our history, and he sees that there was foreknowledge that was exercised here, to know something before time, the foreknowledge of God. Now, just because God knew his people in advance and he allowed for the process of salvation to be unfolded in their lives does not mean that he has excluded anyone from the benefit. Just because God knows it doesn't mean that God pushes it. Just because he knows what's going to happen doesn't mean that he's the one pushing it. There are some that have a theological position of fatalism, and fatalism suggests that it's going to happen because it's going to happen, and there's nothing that we can do about it. Now, in truth, there is some of us that have that disposition as we walk by faith. We do what the word says do, and we believe God for the results. But there's another side of this that says, no, we're not going to live with a fatalistic attitude. that, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and there's nothing I can do about it. And then consequently, we do nothing, because that's not the plan of God. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3 gives us the profile of the blessed person. And one of the last things, or one of the most profound things, to my spirit anyway, that's said in those verses is that his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. James tells us, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. He says that you believe that there is one God, that's cool. The devil also believes and trembles. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And so we don't sit back and do nothing, because we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. But look at what God knew. God knew us. He foreknew us. And that foreknowledge caused him to put something in place so that everyone that would respond to the offer of salvation would step into a ready-made plan. God have mercy. Woo. When we stand and step according to the word, God has already ordained that your life would be blessed. And consequently, we step into an already made plan. This is what Paul is talking about. You need to write it down, an already made plan. When we step by faith, God brings us into an already made plan. He did also predestinate. That means to destine again before time. So God knew and God destined or ordered. This is the ready-made plan. Come on, somebody. Ready-made plan. He executed a ready-made plan. It's not something that he put together at the end of the last moment. He didn't throw it together, but he had a ready-made plan. And that plan was to make us into the image of his son, to conform us into the image. That means that there had to be some change that took place. Conformity means to change. Glory to God. And so the way that we were wasn't going to cut it. So the Lord had to change us. Back in the days I was growing up in the church, got the Holy Ghost, praise the name of God, in the mid 70s, praise the Lord. Another, there was a song that was popular during that time. The Hawkins family sang it, and it was a slow song, and it was Changed. That was the name of the song, Changed. And I think it was Tremaine Hawkins that sang it. A wonderful change has come over me. Praise the name of God. He changed my life, and now I'm free. And so he that foreknew us, predestined us, conforming us to the image of his son, that he, his son, this is Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, Jesus was the forerunner. Ah, God, Jesus died and rose again. He took on our sin and paid the price, accepted the consequence, took on the judgment, was buried, went into hell. 3 days later, he got up with all power in his hand. And because he did it, now we can follow suit as resurrected children of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And so understand that what we are experiencing is a life we were ordained to live. God, have mercy. You need to put that down. I was ordained to live in the Holy Ghost. I was ordained to walk in the Spirit. Woo! My God, I didn't fall into this. I was called into it, and I accepted the call, and I'm being transformed by the call. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Here's verse 30. And whom he called, them he also justified, because I came to Jesus accepting the fact of my sinfulness, but accepting the fact of his paying the price for my sin. And because I repented of my sin, I confessed it and turned my back to it, turned my life to Jesus, I became justified, just as if I've never sinned. That's what it means to be justified in the eyes of God, to be made just as if I've never sinned. Can you understand the power of that position? And Paul goes on to say, with that in mind, that whom he justified, them he also glorified. He saw this thing from the beginning to the end. And he declares at this point in verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? Looking back at the verse 29 and 30, knowing that these things are true, what do you think is the reasonable conclusion? Paul says this, if God be for us, who can be against us? This is why being a disciple is a powerful thing. And the enemy wants you to be discouraged in your discipleship, because as a disciple, you have been anointed to bring somebody to Jesus. Every disciple has the power to bring somebody else, to be one and to make one, to be one and to bring one. God have mercy on my soul. We're going down, verse 32, Romans chapter 8, verse 32 through 34. I need a reader. We're almost at the end. Come on through. Somebody unmute. Glory to God. And let's read.
Romans 8, 32 through 34. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us?
Ooh. Paul is getting excited here. I don't mean Junior Deacon Austin. The Apostle Paul is getting excited here. When he looks back at the panorama of the power of God unfolding in the life of the believer through the gospel message being preached, I mean, this whole thing is because the gospel is being preached. This whole experience is realized in your life because the gospel was preached. It was the gospel that brought you to this point of acceptance. It's the gospel that brought you to this point of transformation. It's the gospel. It's the good news. And this good news just keeps on getting better. Lord, have mercy. I feel the Holy Ghost on this line, somebody. It just keeps getting better. He said, and he puts it in the context like this. He that spared not his own son. So check this out. He didn't hold back Jesus, but delivered Jesus up for everybody, for all of us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's everybody. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that out of the whole world, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So this promise is not to the whole world. This promise is to those that believe. It's available to the world, but you can only take advantage of it if you believe. You've got to come to God and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And just about everybody on this phone can tell you the Lord will honor his word. But look at what Paul is saying. He says, if in the time when we were like alienated from God, that God delivered up Jesus for our sins, at the time when we were at our worst, that God gave his best, what do you think he will hold back from you now? Some of us beg God. Some people beg God for healing. They beg God to open the door. They beg God for this. They beg God for that. You need to stop begging God and stop pleading and stop praying the word. Stop begging God and start praying the word. Amen. Stop begging God and start praying the word. You don't have to beg your Father for good things. It's your Father's good pleasure to give us the keys of the kingdom. You don't have to beg God. He loves us. He's not looking at you, waiting for you to make a mistake to whack you over the head. That's not his nature. A bruised reed will he not break? A smoldering flax he's not going to extinguish. If you're at a point of weakness, at a point of being, you know, at the point of just giving up, he ain't going to take away the little bit of strength you have left. As a matter of fact, you know, to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. That's what the prophet says. It's about to get better. It's about to get better. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know, this idea of election, again, speaks of divine selection before time, like predestination. The idea of predestination and grace is a theological debate and discussion that those that are going to be saved have already been outlined. The list has already been made, and they are going to be the ones that will be saved no matter what they do, you know, and nobody can do about it. And then there's people that's going to go to hell. They're on a list, too, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. Well, that's not true. Election does not suggest exclusion. The elect is just another name for those who have accepted the Lord. God. The elect are those who have accepted what God has offered to us through Jesus Christ at the cross. And Paul says, it's God that justifies. The justification didn't come by man. So what man didn't give you, man can't take from you. Come on, somebody. Nobody made you just but God. Nobody can deliver but God. Nobody can break the chains but God. And when God does it, can't nobody put it back on you. Come on, somebody. I feel something happening here. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? In other words, based upon these issues, then, you know, who's going to condemn? Who can point a finger? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. So Christ died for our sins. God gave up Jesus. Jesus gave up himself. And he is now risen again at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And so I understand that the experience we go through may cause us to question what God has done, question what God is doing. But the Apostle Paul wants you to understand here, he's laying a foundation for victory, and he's also laying a foundation for what's about to come, particularly in the fact of no separation. He wants you to understand that the same way that there is no condemnation, the same way that there is no defeat, this chapter ends with the theme of no separation. I want you to understand that while there is selection in the text that we talked about, election in the text, that there is a state where the things that man will do is always known to God. God knows the disposition. He knows the future. God knew that Judas would betray Jesus. Jesus knew it. He told Judas, what thou doest, do as quickly. Judas went to betray him, but Judas didn't have to do that. Judas could have had a turning point. Somebody was going to betray Jesus, but it didn't have to be Judas. But Judas did it. There's a passage of scripture that talks about Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And the idea of hatred is attached to rejection of God, to the rejection of God. And you got to understand that the birthright blessing that Jacob and Esau had, the Bible says Esau despised his birthright. He turned his back on it, and as a result, consequence came upon his life. Judgment came upon his life, and God judges sin. It is the hot anger of God toward unrighteousness that causes sin to be such a problem. It's not about a mistake. It's about a decision to reject God. Any rejection of God will result in consequences from God. And the text talks about East Jacob, have I loved, Esau, have I hated. The hatred is not the idea of this hot animosity and despising of Esau. It was that Esau received judgment, and judgment comes upon sin. And sin, the Lord is angry at the sinner all day. Sin has a consequence. Obedience has a consequence. And it is up to every one of us to make a choice. Paul says, he goes on to say in verse 35 through 39, and if anybody has a question, you can certainly ask it in the chat. You can put it directly to me or what have you, but you can put it in the chat. You can certainly use the chat in Zoom. Verse 35 through 39, we are here at the end of this profound panoramic chapter. I need a volunteer to do some reading. Verse 35 through 39, Romans chapter 8. Can I get a reader?
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
My God, my God, my God, I want you to understand that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Who shall be able to separate us from his love? Who? Speaks of an entity, something that has a personality. So it's not just the experience. It's demonic strongholds and demonic influences. Tribulation, distress, persecution. Does going through these things mean that God no longer loves us? The devil is a liar. It is written in the word of the Lord that for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Psalm 44, verse 22. For thy sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. That's the New Living Translation version of Psalm 44, verse 22. I want you to understand that it does that just because we go through something doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. And you need to understand that famine, sickness, nakedness, peril, sword, nope. And all these things, now these are the absolute aspects of this world. This is the aspects of living in this world. And you're not going to escape them. Joseph was abused by his brothers, thrown into a pit, left for dead, pulled out, sold into slavery. Moses was put in a basket. His mother tried to spare his life. She spared his life. They defied the laws of the Pharaoh, and he was put into a basket. He was seen by Pharaoh's daughter. The Pharaoh's daughter thought it was the Nile gods and called the child named Moses because he came from the water. It wasn't no Nile god. It was God that was ordering. It was God that was directing all of that. God was orchestrating it. Praise the name of God. But you saw how Moses got to a point where he became of age, and chose to endure. He did refuse the pleasures of sin, and he endured the chastisement with the people of God. He understood that he had to take a stand, and God was calling him from the burning bush. He didn't know what to do. He was a stutterer. He was a consummate stutterer. He had self-esteem issues and problems, but God gave him the strength and the courage. And Moses was the most profound prophet in the Bible. God spoke to him face to face. Praise the name of God. But Moses had his shortcomings. Moses had his issues. He was challenged. Doesn't mean that he wasn't God's man. Doesn't mean that God was using him. But he got into his emotions, and his emotions got him messed up. You got to see. Anytime you let your emotions get the best of you, it'll take you out of the will of God. And that's something that you want to put a pin in right there. Praise the name of God. Anytime you let your emotions get the best of you, it'll take you out of the will of God. But despite these emotions, we can hold on. Yeah, we're going to go through some stuff. And Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. So verse 38 talks about the whole gamut of spiritual negative influences, demons, the host of the devil, the host of demons, principalities and powers, talks about spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, none of those things, I don't care how big and bad they are. They can be strong men. They can be imps. They can be cohorts. They can be a legion. None of these things, nothing from the past, nothing from the present, nothing that's going to come, none of it shall be able to separate us. And I'm so glad he didn't say me. He said us. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing, nothing. So Romans chapter 8 begins with no condemnation. In the middle, it says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There's no defeat. And at the end, there is no separation. It's because we are holding on to the image. We are holding on to our role model. The image of victory is Jesus. Jesus is the role model for victory. Jesus is the role model for victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We know him personally through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We know him personally through walking in the Holy Ghost. We know him personally as making Jesus our choice. And there's no reason why there should be a smile on your face every time you think about how good God has been to you. There is no reason why the enemy should get the best of you, because even in the worst of times, God is still good. And so I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters. Somebody read this off the screen. Somebody read it. I want it to be read in the notes. I want it to be read on the recording. Somebody read that for the people.
Nothing in all creation will ever separate you from my love.
Say it one more time, Junior Deacon Austin.
Nothing in all creation will ever separate you from my love.
Come on now. I need somebody else. Somebody come on here. Come on, another reader, quickly.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. My chains are gone. I've been set free.
Glory. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Somebody else. Come on, somebody else. Read what's on the inside square. Go ahead and read it.
Okay. Inside square. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross.
One more time, Sister Lynette.
Okay. Canceled the recording of the charges.
He canceled the record. I'm sorry. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross.
Come on now. That's the way you got to say that. Glory to God. Now, listen, I'm going to share something with y'all. You know what? I'm going to share it with y'all real quick. I don't need you to unmute, but I need you to say this. These are affirmations for overcomers. And then after we get to the end, the prayer leaders are going to come. Ready? Again, I'm going to show you on the screen. I need you to say it out of your mouth. I need you to say it loud. I need you to say it proud. I need you to say it big and bad. Get ready. Here we go. I'm going to read it because I want the people on the line that are listening to know these affirmations, but I want you to say it yourself. Here we go. My challenges helped me grow. My possibilities are endless. I hope y'all are saying this with me now. I am powerful. I am important. I am kind. I am enough. I am confident. I am valuable. I am brave. I am creative. I trust in God. I can make dreams come true. Woo! I am on this planet for a reason. I believe in myself. My life matters. I can change the world. You go ahead with your bad self. I am smart. I am patient. I value my self-worth. I love the skin I'm in. Come on, somebody. I am never alone because God is always with me. I can do great things. I can forgive others. I am strong. I'm one of a kind. I am a hard worker. And the last one is, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. At this time, our prayer leaders will come and take us to the throne of grace. Let's bombard heaven. Our prayer leaders for the men, our prayer leaders for the women, our prayer leaders for the youth. Let's have at it. Let's pull down Satan's stronghold and release the blessings of the Lord. Prayer leaders, come forth. Prayer leaders, come forth in Jesus' name.
Lord God, our Father in heaven, he who is, who was, and is to come. Dear Lord, we approach your throne of grace even right now boldly, yes. But we still take stock of the reality that it is a privilege to be able to speak to the one who spoke the world into existence. We come before you, dear Lord, taking stock of the reality that you love us so deeply, that you shaped us from the dust with your hands and breathed your own breath into us to make us living souls. And moreover, dear God, you love us so deeply that when you honored the free will that you gave us, when you honored the free will that you gave us and we chose other than you, you came down through the generations and the years to redeem us with your own blood. So right now we come to you, dear Lord, acknowledging the reality that you are still in love with us. You are still, dear God, wanting for us to choose you. And so, Father, while I may not be able to speak for everyone, I could speak for myself, Father. And I would love to testify on behalf of the men, since I'm praying for them, and say that, dear God, we choose you. And we believe what it is that you have said about us, Father. You said that we would be called the righteousness of God. And so we lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us so that we can run with patience this race, dear Lord, that is set before us. Not by our own free will and volition, not by choosing to of our own accord, dear Lord, not by our own determination, but by looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We believe what you have said about us, dear God, and you said, dear Lord, that we can be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. And so, Father, we thank you for that. Because even on this day when we have been tasked with fasting, dear God, in obedience, there is certainly a blessing. And the reality is, dear God, that you told us that you have allowed us to hunger at times so that we remember that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And so I thank you for the men that are on this line, dear Lord, and for those who were not able to make it, because, dear God, there has been a banquet that has been laid before us this day. We have been able to live off of these words that you have spoken. And so I thank you for the testimony, dear God, that you are everything that we need and more. You are our banner when we need someone to go before us. You are the Lord of armies when we need someone to fight for us. You are the Lord, our righteousness, when we seem like we may falter. You are the Lord, our healer, when our hearts or our bodies are hurting. You are the lover of our souls and a friend that sticks closer than a brother when we feel rejected by those who are our companions, those who are intended to love us. And so I praise you, dear God, because this day we have testified of you, and I ask that you allow our lives to be living testimonies of you. Take the hearts of stone that are within us and give us hearts of flesh, we pray. Keep us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we, your children, come one more time in your presence, calling upon your name, seeking your face. Lord, we worship you for who you are. We love you, Lord, because you love us first. We bow down before you, Jesus, in humble adoration, knowing that you alone is worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. My God, your name alone, Lord, is exalted and high. You're God all by yourself. There's no other. You cannot be compared, my God. You're the great I am that I am, the all-sufficient God, the God of more than enough, the God of plenty. Hallelujah, Jesus, we, your people, humbly bow before your presence this evening, giving you thanks and praise. We bow, Lord, with a humble heart. We bow with a confessing heart. Lord, as I lay out all my sisters, Lord, the women of God, in your presence this evening, each and every one on the line, Lord, and those that never make it this evening, wherever they are, Father, Lord, we pray you breathe your breath upon them. We pray that you strengthen every woman of God, Lord Jesus. We pray that you carry each and every one through, Lord. We pray, God, your leading and your direction in our life. And Father God, if we have sinned against you in any way, whether in action, thoughts, or speaking, Lord, we pray, forgive. Have mercy upon us, O God, and help us, Lord, every one of us to see ourselves. Anywhere we have wronged thee, anywhere we have fallen short, oh God, help us to see ourselves and repent and get back on track with you, Lord. No time, dear God, to waste. No time to delay. No time, dear God, to play church, my God. It is for us to be buckled down to serious business, my God. We realize, oh God, that we are living in the last and closing days. We realize, oh God, the pressures of life and all the things that is happening. But, oh, great God of heaven, as the writer said this evening in our teaching, Lord, what shall separate us from your love? And, oh, God, it named the different kind of things and said, none of these things will separate us from your love. Father God, help your people to be determined. Help your women, Lord God, to be strong. Help your women, Lord God, to be courageous. Help your women, Lord God, to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. For as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, help us, oh God, to be faithful. Help us, oh God, to be true to the trust. Help us to be, oh God, to remain, oh God, strong in you, Lord, keeping our eyes on you, Lord, keeping our focus on you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Help us, oh God, not to allow the flesh to rob us, dear God, of the joy that you had in store for us, Lord, to distract us, my God, and let us led away, my God, and sin against you. Father God, I pray that you hold us close to you, Father. We pray that you draw us closer to you, Father. We pray, God, that you deliver us, oh God, from every powers of darkness. Lord, all the fight that we are going, that we are facing, Lord, one way or another, Jesus, we lean on you because you are our strength. You are our keeper. Hallelujah. Help every woman, my God, to be determined, Lord God, to hold out to the end. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Help every woman, my God, to keep our focus on you. Preserve our going out and our coming in. Lord, heal our mind. Jesus, knowing that is with the mind one serve you. And the enemy love to fool around our mind, my God. But Jesus, my God, I pray that you keep us close to you, my God. Help us to remain at the foot of the cross, my God. Hallelujah, Jesus, my God, that no devil from hell can mess with our mind, my God. The mind must be stayed on you. The mind belongs to you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, my God, no wavering, my God. Hallelujah, not giving up, my God. Hallelujah, Jesus, my God, but to be strong in you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus, we thank you for your words this evening, words of life and consolation. Oh, God, let it resonate in our heart, my God. Let it take root in our heart, my God, because it is your word we live by. Oh, great God of heaven, we're asking you this evening, Lord God, to have your own way. Intervene, Lord God, in our situation. Lord God, you know what every woman is going through right now. Lord God, everyone is facing some circumstances or the other. Oh, my God, but you deliver us again. You are our deliverer. You promise in your word, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we take you at your word. Lord, whatever you said is final. Oh, great God, we thank you for your words to assure us, oh God, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Oh God, at times we feel like as if we are forgotten. At times we feel as if there's no use going any further. But in the name of Jesus, help us to be determined, my God, to fight this good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Help us, oh God, to be strong. Help us, oh God, to be overcomer. Jesus, my God, breathe upon your women. Oh God, breathe upon your women, my God. Touch each and every one. Help us to be, oh God, focus on you, Father. And help us, Lord, not to give up. Help us, Lord, not to be weary in well-doing. For we know, dear God, that our labor will never go in vain. You are the great rewarder. Your hands is full of reward, and you are going to pay every man, hallelujah, according to our work, Lord Jesus, that, oh God, we have served. Heavenly Father, help us to serve faithfully. Have your way, Lord, we pray. Hear and answer prayer, and thank you, God, for hearing and answering. In Jesus' precious name we pray and ask these mercies. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, I thank you for another opportunity to be in your presence, O Lord, my God and my King. You are the creator of the universe. You are the Alpha and Omega. And God, I just thank you and I praise you, O Lord. I honor you for who you are, my God. Hallelujah. I exalt you and I lift you up because you are the one who continuously gives me breath to breathe. Father God, I ask right now that you forgive me of all my sins, oh God, anything that I have done that is displeasing in your sight, oh Lord. Anyone listening to this prayer right now, we pray and ask for your forgiveness. Before we come with other petitions, God, we ask that you look at our hearts and wash us clean, oh God, whiter than snow with your blood, Lord, that we may be forgiven. We come before you with repenting hearts, oh God, that we don't want to live lives of sin, but we want to come before you pleasantly, oh God, hallelujah, to be a sweet sound, oh God, to hear in your ears, oh God, to smell beautifully of fragrance, oh God, in your presence. Father, I pray over the young people right now that we have hearts and minds to look to you, our Lord and our King, to acknowledge who you are in our lives, to know that without you, we are nothing, that we cannot do this life without you. We cannot make this life without you. Even what we see in the world, oh God, people who are without you that smile, that seem like they have money and that seem that they are happy, oh God, we don't want their fake smiles, oh Lord. We want that joy down in our hearts that the world does not give and the world cannot take it away. We want your love, oh God, your strength and your power, Lord Jesus. Even when we call on your name, oh God, even when we bring petitions to you, oh God, and we get weary of waiting, oh Lord, this generation right now, oh God, loves instant gratification. And Lord, some of us don't know how to wait, how to patiently wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Your word tells us to wait on you and be of good courage, for you will strengthen our hearts. So, Father God, I pray right now with my good and courageous heart that you send strength to us, oh God. Send strength to your people as we wait on your move, as we wait to see the fruition, oh God, of the manifestation of your word in our lives, Lord Jesus. Have your way in us, oh God. We want to patiently, joyfully wait for you, oh God. Wait for your coming. Wait for the promises of God. Wait for the healing in our lives. Lord, we wait on you. We put our lives in your hands. We put our hope in your hands. We thank you for the word that you have given us that we can read and be encouraged and know that you have come through time and time and time again. Father God, we know that you are the God that was there for Abraham. You were there for Isaac. You were there for Jacob. You were there for Daniel. You were there for David, oh God. You were there for Joseph. You were there for Paul. You were there for us. Even still this day, Lord, we trust in you and we look forward to the things that are coming in our lives. We might not yet see it, oh God, hallelujah, but we know through your word that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, neither has it entered into our hearts what you shall do for us. So, Lord, even when we are waiting, even if we get weary, oh God, let us keep that in the forefront of our mind that it has not even entered into our thoughts. It has not even entered into our hearts the amazing things that you will do. Our Father, our God in heaven. Hallelujah. We thank you, oh Lord, that you are our Father. You are our Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. And just like a father, that he waits for the right time to give us the things that we know will blow our mind. Hallelujah. Gifts come from our Father in heaven. And Lord, you know the right time to give it to us. You know the right time to place it in our lives. You know, oh God, that our hearts are not always correct, that our thoughts are not always correct. And Lord, I pray right now that young people look in the word and examine themselves. When they get frustrated, oh God, with the things that are not moving as fast as they want, oh God, that they look inwardly, they examine themselves, and they make sure that what they're asking for, they're doing the proper things to receive it. Hallelujah, Jesus. We need to live lives according to you, oh God, according to what you say, not according to what social media says, not according to what our friends say, not according to what boyfriend or girlfriend say, oh God, not even according to what teachers or professors say in school, oh God, but according to what you tell us, oh God. We want to live lives holy and acceptable and pleasing unto you. You are God and our King. Hallelujah. Have your way in my generation this day, oh Lord, that we put you on the throne. We keep you on the throne of our lives. You will always be on the throne, oh God. But I want you to be on the throne of each and every one of our lives, in our hearts, oh God, in our thoughts, that you are the one in control. You are the one that order our steps. And we just lead. We go by the leading of you, oh God. We go by the guiding of you. I pray every young person right now that deals with anxiety, oh God, that you touch their hearts, you touch their bodies, and they know and they understand that they have to be anxious for nothing, that their God in heaven, the one who created the sun, the moon, and the stars, is the one that hears their prayers every time they pray. That you are the one who hears their cries when they cry out at night, oh God, when they cry out during the day, in their alone time, in their prayer closet. You are the one that hears them. So they must not be anxious for these things, but they shall put their trust in the Lord. They shall put their trust in you. I pray over my generation right now, oh God, that people sometimes count us out. They say that we're not going to be the amazing world changers that we will be. But God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I know that you have your hand upon our lives. I know that the words of the enemy shall not conquer in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That death is not for us, that we shall live, that we shall bring forth life. Hallelujah. Even the people that have made difficult decisions in their lives, oh God, let them be settled in you, that they know that they can rise up again because of you, because of your power from on high, because of your Holy Spirit that is here with us, oh God, even because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that when we fall, we don't have to stay down. Even if people feel that they have spiritually died, they don't have to stay there, oh God. I pray over the young people this day, Lord, that they rise up and know who they are. They rise up in their confidence, hallelujah. They rise up in the power of your word. Have your way in us this day, Lord Jesus. I pray. Amen and amen.
Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we love you and we thank you for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has made us free from the law of sin and death. Thank you, Lord God, that tonight we have shared your word with your people, and we believe that change is taking place right now, that chains are being broken and minds are being liberated and hearts are being lifted and faith is being birthed. We bless your name. We bless your name tonight. Lord, you know everybody that's on this line that's experiencing this experience in live mode. I thank you, Lord God, right now, those that are experiencing it, as it were, in living color. And even those, Lord God, that will listen to these words here recorded tonight, we declare and decree spiritual liberty in the name of Jesus. We declare and decree supernatural deliverance in the name of Jesus. We declare and decree that the alcohol will lose its grip, that the drugs will lose its grip, that the pornography will lose its grip, that the lying spirit will lose its grip, hey, that the spirit of depression will lose its grip, that the spirit of fear will lose its grip, that the spirit of whoredoms will lose its grip, that the deaf and dumb spirit will lose its grip. Oh God, we bless your name right now, because there is no weapon formed against your people that can prosper. And Lord, we declare and decree these blessings, not over only upon us, but we declare it over our children and our children's children and our children's children's children. We declare generational deliverance to combat generational cursing. We declare right now generational increase. We declare generational sanctification. We declare generational holiness. We declare apostolic truth in the mighty name of Jesus. Unashamed, we lift up your name. We speak the name that's above every name, the name that angels bow before and demons tremble. Hey, we lift up the name of Jesus on this line, and we declare, because Jesus lives, we shall face our tomorrows. Hey, we declare, because Jesus got up from the grave, that anybody that believes on him can follow as well. He was the forerunner. He went before us. He was the one that showed us, if we will obey your word, oh God, that we could get up as well. If we put you first, all these other things shall be added. Bless your people as we embrace your truths. We declare and decree that while we're troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. We thank you for the excellency of the power of the Holy Ghost in us that allows us to live the life of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the new life. Thank you for the God life. Thank you for the life, oh God, that we live today is a foretaste of the life we shall have tomorrow. We praise your name, for we have tasted of this glorious gift. We have tasted of the glorious power. We have tasted of the glory of God. And we ask you, Lord God, to ever allow us to have an open heart and mind to hear your word, an obedient spirit to do your word. The spirit of humility to understand and recognize where we got to change so we can grow. Oh, God, I bless you now and thank you for these precious hearts. I thank you for these prayer leaders tonight. We ask your blessings upon every family, every person here, and every household represented. And even now, with uplifted hands, let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.